Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's the man that created the All Juice team.
I watch a lot of football, guys. Every week, hours of it. I took notes on every game.
You can find his work over at Yahoo Sports.
The Chiefs is a great football team, man.
And he joins us every Tuesday at 3:30 and Thursday at 8:30.
Watch him. He looks unbelievable.
Here's 610 Sports Radio's NFL insider, Terez Paylor.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's head to the phone lines right now, be joined by one of my favorite guests. His name is Terez Paylor. He is one of the best NFL reporters, one of the best NFL writers, also one of the best NFL podcasters. He does amazing work for Yahoo Sports. He's also a Hall of Fame voter. Terez, how's it going today?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Let's start with the top story in the NFL is the health and status of Patrick Mahomes. You're as plugged into this organization as any. What are you hearing about the Chiefs quarterback?
I think people around him, I think people around the team are generally pretty optimistic he's going to be ready to go. I reported yesterday that, pretty good chance he's going to end up practicing, and then today he was limited. So, it looks like he's in, 3, 4, 5 stage of the protocol. Things went okay with him today, he is on track to be ready to play Sunday. But, you still always have to be a little cautious. And that's why I'm generally really cautious with the injury stuff. My years covering this league, this is my 8th year doing it now. You kind of never know when things can go backwards. So I'm pretty careful and I'll always be that. But, in general, I do think, and I think you've heard this too, people are pretty optimistic about his ability to play on Sunday. And I also think one more thing is important to remember is, the people around him, since he's been drafted here, all I've heard is, Patrick is a warrior. Patrick really, he's unique in the sense that he's resilient physically, right? He's got mental toughness. He can play through stuff. And I think, especially as it relates to the toe, that's going to play a role here on Sunday. The last guy who'd want to sit out this game is Patrick Mahomes. And, it would take a lot, I think, to keep him from doing it, though. Nothing is guaranteed.
So, Terez, you bring up the toe for Mahomes. There's no chance he's 100%. He clears the concussion protocol. He goes out there. But just given his toe and his foot injury, he's going to be limited to some aspect. Do you have any concerns about what he can physically do? Because he's a guy that he's not a running quarterback by any means, but he's certainly mobile, can use his legs, and also can evade the rush. Are you worried about some of the things he physically will be able to do against Buffalo's defense?
That's a great question, man, because they know that too, right? And there's things that you can do as a defense when you know the quarterback is struggling to move a little bit. For instance, bring pressure from the left side. If it's his right toe, you bring pressure from the left side, make him run on that and go to that side. Consequently, if it's his left toe, you bring pressure from the right side. You understand? So I would actually expect Buffalo to pressure him in a way they wouldn't early on. They've got to see what this guy has. They got to see if he's mobile, because that's going to help them call plays the rest of the game. They got to see if this is really Patrick, because if it's really Patrick, then they'll settle back into the zone stuff. They'll settle back into the rush four play, split safety, zone. They'll do that. But if he can't move, And he's still really good, but if he can't move, you there might be a chance to actually pressure him and blitz him and get after him and create some plays, which you ordinarily could never do. I mean, he's one of a few quarterbacks you just generally shouldn't blitz, along with Josh Allen and, you know, some other guys. So, I think there's some things the Chiefs can do, you know, to help prepare them for this. Like, you can outfit his shoe. I mean, you can shoot it up. Like, there's things you can do where he'll be feeling okay in the game. But that still doesn't mean it won't come out when he's forced to run around and scramble and stuff. And we can't forget that in the playoffs, his legs have been a weapon. He's really used those. He's used them to make teams pay when blitzing. He's used them to make teams play when dropping into coverage. And it's really the thing that's made him indefensible. So if he plays and his mobility is limited in any way, I expect Buffalo to know that early on. And the pass game has got to really be on point. Everybody's going to have to pick it up in the pass game then.
Therese, you study and know the draft as much as anybody that we talk to. You got the All Juice team. When you watch Josh Allen, what ceiling did you see for him? Because I thought that he was going to be sort of Cam Newton light based on what we saw the last 2 years for him at Buffalo. But this year, he's turned into one of the top five throwers of the football in the league, and I don't think there was any reason to think that from him based on what we saw his first 2 years.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. And you know, I think the Cam Newton comp was a good one. And honestly, it was a fair one, you know. Brandon Bean, their general manager, was in Carolina with Cam Newton. And I talked to him about this. Like, he didn't like comparing him to Cam, but like, he acknowledged that there were some similarities, you know. So don't feel bad. Like, we all messed that part of it up. Josh Allen's development as a passer has been one of the most remarkable stories in football. And if you don't mind, I'll plug the fact that my next check the tape is on that. And I think a big reason is on Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator for the last 3 years. You know, it speaks to the importance of continuity between the head coach, between the offensive coordinator and the quarterback. And also, like, one thing I think everyone underestimated about Josh Allen, and I didn't fully understood till I got in front of him and talked to him at length for a couple times. You got to trust me. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't just say this guy loves football. I don't just throw that around. Like, I think you guys know me by now. Like, I use that for the guys I really believe that in, you know, the dogs or whatever. And I tell you, Josh loves football a lot because you can just see it. It just radiates off him, right? But B, you don't improve the way he has as a passer over 3 years unless you really love the game and are like, you know, living it, eating it, sleeping it. I mean, this guy has improved his mental processing on the field. He's improved his accuracy. He's improved his mechanics. And while those things are not impossible to get better at, see, they're hard to get better at quarterback, especially as quickly as he has. So, you know, nothing but respect for Josh Allen. You know, I think he's gotten good coaching and he's got a great infrastructure in Buffalo. Those guys know how to build a team. But a big reason for this also is because that guy honestly really, really cares about being great. And that's why my focus when I try to pick the All Juice team or when I try to co-sign on players is to find guys that love it. Because when you love it and you're passionate about something, and no matter what industry, whether that's journalism or radio or football or whatever, if you love it and you're passionate about it, people are going to see it. And more often than not, you're going to reach your ability. And I think we're seeing that with Josh Allen.
I agree with everything, Therese, you just said about Josh Allen and his improvement and why he's at the point that he is. But I feel like you might have missed the biggest thing, which is Stephon Diggs. Wasn't that just the perfect relationship to get him in the offseason?
No, he's been fantastic. And, you know, in my defense, I mentioned it in the column that's about to come out, man. Yeah. Like, Diggs is a beast. Diggs is a stud. And I think Diggs is a reminder that sometimes when guys are complaining about targets and when they're complaining about their role in offense, like, sometimes it's not just being selfish. Just like, sometimes it's like, you know what you can accomplish. And these guys really work too hard not to, like, see, like, what they could be if given the opportunity. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like Kobe had to get, you know, what was it, 2005, 2006, those years when he was jacking, like, 30 shots a game.
Yeah.
I think he just needed to get that out of his system. Like, just to show people, hey, this is what I got. You know, this is my legacy. This is how good I am. He just had to get it out of his system, you know, and I think Diggs is a really great example of that. Man, you guys are giving me column ideas. You know, Diggs is really a great example of that. Like, sometimes these guys know what they're capable of, and they work too doggone hard not to show it. He has been unbelievable, not coverable one-on-one with most corners. And I think the thing I like the most is that him and Allen have, like, a real connection, man. And here's how good Diggs has been. No one complains about the fact that they basically traded Justin Jefferson for him, and Justin Jefferson's a stud. So Buffalo is a great example of how to build a football team, and you will see teams in the next 2 to 3 years try to emulate the way they've done it. They will try to emulate that blueprint.
Oh, the Bills are going to be a problem on Sunday, and they're going to be a problem for a while. We're talking with Therese Paylor here on the drive. You said a couple of things that kind of caught my attention. You talked about uncoverable and legacy, which makes me think about Tyreek Hill, and while we're at it, let's talk about the Honey Badger. As a guy that has an actual Hall of Fame vote, how much do you think the next couple of games are going to impact whether those guys ultimately end up in Canton? Because to me, see, I differ a little bit on this. I think both those guys are borderline, and I would say that Tyrann Mathieu might be like 55-45 now that he's got a ring.
Who was the first one you cut out?
Tyreek Hill. I was asking about Tyreek Hill.
Okay, Ty?
Yeah.
Okay. So where does Carrington come out on this?
I'm looking at Tyrann Mathieu. To me, I would say that it's probably more likely that he makes the Hall of Fame than not likely. He's a guy who's a first team all decade, and you and I have had enough talk about those kind of accolades, how they resonate. And if this team wins multiple Super Bowls, somebody from the defense is going to go. It's not going to be all guys on the offense. So I'm probably a lot higher on Tyrann than I am on Tyreek. I think Tyreek's amazing. I think he's fantastic. But you know, being in that room, it's getting harder and harder for wide receivers to make the Hall of Fame. So maybe he makes it, but he has to do a lot more and keep building up his resume before I feel really good about him going in.
I go out on the record. I go on a limb. I think when it's all said and done from this team, Mahomes is going to make it. Reed is going to make it. Kelsey's going to make it. And those are ones you can take to the bank.
For sure.
And I feel really good about Honey Badger because he's all decade along with Travis Kelce, right? So, and then guess what? I mean, I think Tyreek Hill's case is going to end up being pretty good. Like, 5 Pro Bowls already in his career. He's just 26. Guess what? He was all decade too. Okay. So that matters. Don't forget, that matters. He's got 5 Pro Bowls, 3 first team all pros, albeit the first one, I think, maybe the second one was as a returner, but still, you know, I think Tyreek, here's another guy who loves the game and he's so gifted. You know, the question is, how is he going to hold up physically? I think if Hill puts together, you know, 2 or 3 more great seasons like this, you know, he'll be pretty safe to get in one day, especially with Mahomes and they win at this level. So
yeah.
The honest to God truth is that everybody still got work to do, right? Like the only one that's like locked in, you know, really is Andy. And Kelce's probably okay too, just after what he's done this year. But, like, you know, everyone's still got more work to do. But all these guys we just named, they're on the path. It would take, like, injuries getting in the way to keep, in my opinion, to keep these guys from having, like, really strong cases for me to put before the room. Now, it's going to take some guys longer than others, right? But I'm telling you, man, like, they keep winning like this, and Andy's a coach for a while, and Patrick stays here, and he's happy, and they keep this band together. You know, these guys are on a good path to getting to Canton one day. All of them are.
2-part question here, Therese, and we'll get you out of here. We appreciate your time. Eric Bieniemy, I believe now he's interviewed for over 12 jobs the last 3 seasons. He hasn't at least officially been offered, not to our knowledge. What do you think is keeping Eric Bieniemy from a head coaching job? And do you think that he is the favorite right now in Houston?
You know, that's the question that everybody keeps asking and nobody really knows. So now we're at the point where people are coming up with stuff. And I actually just wrote a column on this. I'm about to tweet out. You know, is it like, does he interview poorly? I think all these guys get better with interviews with time. And now that this is his 3rd year in this cycle, I have a hard time believing he's not interviewing much better, because you can tell, like, his delivery, even if it's press conferences, is a lot better. So I don't think that's legit right now. You wonder for something from his past. He had some arrest when he was a young coach and when he was a college player, but no coach is spotless. You know, some more than others, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you know, that stuff happened like 2 decades ago. So based on the stuff that we know that's public, we, you know, that doesn't really pass muster either, especially when guys still get jobs and they get hired, you know. And you know, and then it's like, does he call plays? And honestly, that one's extremely insulting. Like the last two didn't call plays. And Nagy and Peterson, you know, I've always liked both those guys, you know, but, you know, it's been very clear. Andy Reid is the one creating the game plans and stuff, but he does it with the help of his offensive coordinator, and their offensive coordinator sometimes calls some of the plays, like, but Andy is the final voice, as he should be. It is no different. The only difference, in theory, is no difference. The only difference is that Peterson and Nagy each had stretches the year before they went to become head coaches where they did call plays pretty outright because the team's offense was struggling so bad they needed to do something to get out of the funk. And we forget that now, but I just don't think it's fair that Eric is basically being punished because his offense is so doggone good. Andy doesn't need to switch it up by letting someone else call it for a few games. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like it's crazy. So I gave you the three main reasons that people kind of wonder, like, is it this or that? None of them really pass muster based on what we know that has come out about them, right? So that leaves like one last thing, which is basically, you know, this is about relationships. People hire who they're comfortable with. And you know, some guys just aren't connected to the right guys when there's certain jobs open. That's it. Like, look at the Lions coach, Dan Campbell, right? Guess what? Apparently him and Chris Spielman are pretty tight. Oh, Chris Spielman is the new assistant to Rod Wood, who's the CEO. You think that matters? You understand what I mean? So here's what I know, C-Dot. Yeah, I know this. You know, again, based on the stuff we know about Eric, he's going to continue to make sure that he does the best job he can and the job he has, and the Chiefs will be better for that now. Okay, but when the time comes for him to be a head coach somewhere, I think he'll be great. I think he'll be extremely motivated, and he will have put all this time waiting to good use to really have his program and what he wants to do with the job down pat. I don't think he's stressing. I think he's worried about doing his job to the best of his ability. And I think that's one of the things that best sums up Eric. So, you know, hopefully this ends. Like, you know, I'll be honest, you know, doesn't it get tiring talking about this? Like, it seems kind of crazy, right, guys? Like, are you guys tired of talking about it? Because it does seem unusual and strange that he does not have that opportunity.
I think the frustrating part for me is to what you said in the beginning. We keep trying to find these other reasons of why he's not being hired, but then when you ask the obvious question what the NFL has acknowledged as a problem when it comes to their hiring practice, like, well, no, that's not it. Well, hold on. Why can't we talk about that being it, but we can talk about the play calling? We can talk about all those other things. Like, why can't we examine the full spectrum of it? Where I asked a question a couple of days ago, and the text line was furious at me. Take somebody like who the Chargers just hired. Everybody told me that this Chargers job was one of the best jobs to come open. They got this great young quarterback, all this cap space. It's in L.A. I don't think Brandon Staley gets that job if he's black, just based on his resume. His resume is not overly impressive.
One great year as a coordinator, too? Like, that's the thing that's kind of messed up. Like, he's young, and I get that, you know. And actually, you know, I'm going to tell you this. You guys know I watch a lot of tape, man. His scheme is pretty good. You know, and he's a Vic Fangio, like, you know, protege. Like, I get it. But then you put that against Bieniemy, who's been a part of a great offense for the last 3 years, who's been a player in this league for 10 years, who was a coach in this league for 10 years, has coached in college. Like, Eric Bieniemy's 50 years old. You know, he's really put in his time. So I'm with you, man. I hear you. Like, I'm with you. It feels like, to a lot of black coaches, I can tell you this, like, it feels like the goalposts just keep getting shifted, you know? You know, first it was, here come, oh, we got to find the next McVay, the young, hip offensive coach. You know, you got some offensive coaches now who are part of good teams. There's a couple people aren't even talking about, Carrington. Hey, guess what? Pep Hamilton, the quarterback coach for the Chargers, did a really good job with Justin Herbert this year. Here's another guy you've never heard of. Marcus Brady, the Indianapolis quarterback coach. Marcus Brady was a quarterback in the CFL. He called plays in the CFL, and he's been a quarterback coach for the Colts for the last 3, 4, 5 years, I think. Phillip Rivers is ancient. He just retired. He actually had a pretty good season. So here are guys that should be getting some heat as like offensive coordinators and just nothing. Do you understand? Like, that's the frustrating part of it. And I'm sure there are people who are tired of hearing this, but, you know, I would encourage those people to think about how tired the coaches in the African-American community and minorities in this league are of talking about it too, and having to worry about it, and having to worry about being perfect or checking every single box when they feel that there are other coaches who get these jobs and they don't have to check every single box the way they do.
That is Therese Paylor, one of the best NFL writers, reporters, and voices in the country. He does fantastic work for Yahoo Sports. Be on the lookout for his column with Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, everything Buffalo. Thanks, Therese.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for the column ideas, too.
That is Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports joining us on the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, if you missed it, we had Ian Rappaport on the show earlier today. We will take out everything that he had to say about Patrick Mahomes and play that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.